Hi, my name is Beezy. I'm with Sydney and Roger Mitten-Watson in Australia, and they're going to share their freedom story with us about the banks, their house, and how they were empowered by using the courtesy notice and standing in their own power. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Hi, Beezy. Pleasure to be with you.
If you can just tell us a little bit about how your house got entangled with the bank and the foreclosure system, and then how you moved forward in discovering what you did about OPPT and the courtesy notice and being in your house, as you said this morning, with a fire and a lovely cup of tea.
Yes. Our nightmare began about 2.5 years ago. We found that we were getting into trouble with paying the mortgages. Couldn't understand why, but anyone involved with the low-doc, no-doc scam would understand that your loan application forms have been severely tampered with. But at that stage, we didn't know. I rang the broker, said I'd like to sell the house next door that we had bought as an investment, and he immediately responded, no, you can't, which rather took me by surprise. And I thought, well, you're meant to help us. You're supposed to be our broker. And then a day later, he rang and said, no, the bank will not allow you to sell. So on retrospect, looking back, we should have just taken the gun and sold it right then and there, and it would have prevented everything that happened to us since. But then we would not have learned what we have learned, so there's always lessons. So eventually the bank, Commonwealth Bank, took us to court, and we went through the whole stages of the Supreme Court, right through to the full bench in the Supreme Court, and were rejected each time. No one wanted to hear about our case, the fraudulent nature of it. But what was very interesting was that the lawyers did everything in their power to mess things up. They'd never served affidavits, which, if anyone's familiar with Trinzi versus Pegelararo, if you're not served affidavits and a summary judgment is made on a non-served affidavit, it renders the whole case as null and void. Didn't matter how many times we brought that to the court, to the judges and everything, they completely overrode it, never wanted to look at it. So we went through the full Supreme Court, through the full bench, and then we decided we'd go to the High Court. So we went to the High Court of Australia and went through the same song and dance and found that no judge wanted to hear anything about our case. And even if we brought up the fact that we had not been served affidavits, they weren't interested at all. So that final case, so the judge summary judgment was made on the 14th of June 2012, last year. And our last court hearing in the High Court, I think, was on the January the 18th of this year, 2013. The High Court dismissed our case, and we were then formally evicted from our property a couple of weeks later. Now, we both felt totally washed out. We didn't know what to do. Now, all through this, we had been following the OPPT site. I'd been diligently going back, looking, getting tremendous help from people on the Skype, asking questions, and still wasn't confident enough to make the stand. We started going down the executor role, where my husband is the executor of the estate, of which he still is. And we began to send notices, letters to the Queen and to various dignitaries around Australia. And the letters started to come back as, we have no idea what you're talking about. Knowing full well, they know exactly what we're talking about. We're the beneficiary. My husband is the beneficiary of his estate. So, but when we started doing the executor role, we decided we'd move back onto the property. And at that point, when we made the decision we were moving back, Roger suffered a massive brain hemorrhage and ended up in hospital for a month after brain surgery and is still recovering. I decided I would still move back into the house on the day that we decided we would. So while Roger was in hospital, I moved back in. That was a very nerve-wracking day. And then we actually stayed in the house for 2 months. Then we received the bailiff's notice to evict, and there was nothing to hold us. You know, I thought, well, we've tried the executor letter, didn't work, and I didn't know enough about the cancellations of the registrations of the banks and the governments. So I went and had a thorough investigation of that. Then I began to see that this was actually law, global law. And I thought, well, if this is global law, why the heck are we not standing on it? Roger came out of hospital, and he moved into the house with me while I was still in the first stage of the siege of our property. Then we were evicted, and we had to go back with our tails between our legs and think, now what? So I said, well, let's have a look at this courtesy notice. And I'd been following everything with everyone on the Skype. And then we had that, just that, aha experience where, yes, we can do this. If this is law, it must be enforced. I began to ask questions about the enforcement. How are you going to enforce it? Because this was the key. How are you going to enforce it? Then I began to see that the UN and the pro-marshals and such were involved. And I thought, well, there is some enforcement going on. We can actually rely on the fact that this is a global law. We're not going to be walked over. And on that point, we made our mind up and we said, okay, we're going to stand on this law. The authority is there. And we just felt that empowerment. We just knew that we had the authority. Let's go and do it. So we told our friends, we're leaving, we're going back to our property. It's always our property. We never discuss it as our lost home or anything. It's always our property. And then I began to write the courtesy notices to the lawyers and such. If you send anyone to the property, I will start invoicing you. The first day we moved onto the property, some guys turned up, and they had turned up to do some work on the sheds. This was, no one does any work on our sheds without my permission or my even asking them. And we never have anyone come to our property to do any work. We've always done it all ourselves. So we spoke to these two workmen who had come to do some work. My husband spoke to him. And we were as polite as we could possibly be, you know, knowing that you're under threat. Someone's wanting to do something in your home. And I said, well, actually, you don't have any authority here. We have possession of this property. Oh, but we've been sent to do this work. And I said, no one does any work on this property without our permission. So we then gave them a courtesy notice and explained it to them. We said, you know, if you come back again, this is what we can do. We don't want to do it, but we will have to if you persist. When they understood the amount of silver involved and the value, it was the value of their homes. And so he said, I'm not coming back again. You can have my word on it. I will not be returning. It does shake them up when they realize that they could also be in a foreclosure position. And that was the last one that turned up on the property. We have since removed the signs on the gate that they put up, and we did a very massive A3 size sign, warning sign, talking about the crossing over the border and trespass, etc. But it also has at the bottom in bold letters, probably not bold enough, but bold enough, people do get out and look at it, that states that the UCC filings of the banks and the governments have been cancelled. So that, I think, has thwarted. No one turned up after that first day. We have not seen anyone since. We then decided we'd go to the real estate agent who had the order to sell our property, and we gave her the notice. We asked to speak to the principal of the real estate agent. She came up all bouncing and thinking she had a sale of a property coming in, and then we introduced ourselves and told her that we are the owners of the properties. That brought her down a level. And then I just very simply said to her, you are not to send anyone further to our property. You are not to come onto our property. Anyone that comes onto our property, we will invoice you and it could amount to your house. That really, I saw the power in that. She was very shocked. She said, oh, but the banks say I've got to do this and that to the property. I said, you didn't hear me. I've said if you return or send anyone to the property, we will have to go for your property. And then that sunk in. So we gave her the contract. We said, this is a contract. You have a choice. You can either act on it or you can do nothing, and we'll do nothing. So that was how we left. We went to our bank, local bank, went to the bank manager and gave him the cover letter, which is on the site, which states we need to see your bank statements to show the funding that was in the bank at the time of our loan. Look, most banks will never, ever be able to give you that answer because they had no money. They're all bankrupt themselves. So we gave him that, but on the notice, I also said, we also want our titles returned, unencumbered, within 7 days of this letter. Now, he was very taken back. He said, I'll just go and photocopy this. I said, no worries. Don't worry about it. That's yours. We have our own. Oh, okay. And then he still shot out the door. We're not quite sure why. I'm sure it's his upper manager. And we waited a short while. And then I said to Roger, look, he's not going to come back for the titles today, so we'll shoot off. And that's what we've done. I've since given that demands for the funding that was available in the banks, that's the cover letter, to another couple of Commonwealth Bank managers. I'm sending another one by registered mail today. So there will be about four landing on about four or five different managers' desks, and with it will be the demand for the return of our titles, of which, well, that will be interesting. Wouldn't it be nice to let you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we stalled and stalled with the court hearings. I just felt in my heart, if we can stall long enough, an answer will come. There will be an answer. It was when I understood fully the depth and the breadth of the OPPT cancellations on the UCC filings of the banks and governments that I realized this is law. We can stand on this law. And so by the end of the High Court hearing, it was probably about two months later that I got this aha, we can go back and stand on these filings that have been made, the cancellations, and that's what we've done. And we just stalled and stalled. Now, our summary judgment was made on the 14th of June 2012, last year, and it's only about 2.5 weeks to go before the 365 days are up. From my understanding, and if any lawyers are listening, just, you know, please correct me otherwise, but after that, I think they have to reopen the case. By then, hopefully, I will have had no answer to the demand for the funding available in the bank at the time, to which I can then ask, where is it? If they cannot show they had funding, that shows there's fraud. Now, I'm beginning to see that some cases around the world, America, and I think a couple in Australia of recent time, have been dismissed on the fact that there has been no evidence of funding available in the bank at the time of the loan. So I'm just hanging out for the 14th of June and past, and then I think they have to reopen the case, to which I should have what I want to say, and certainly I'll be filing in the affidavit the UCC cancellations of the banks and the governments worldwide.
Excellent.
I think then it will go on to the public record.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And no one, as you said, no one has come back to the property. No one has engaged you in any way since you started using the courtesy notice and the cover letter that you mentioned.
That's correct.
Right. And what would you say, Sydney, now that you've had this experience, what would you say to other people who are listening to this freedom story and perhaps not certain about whatever their challenge and the contrast they may be facing is, whether it's a house or something else, about using the courtesy notices, about using the foreclosure flyers and empowering themselves? What would you have to say to them?
Do it. We have got nothing to lose. We have nothing to lose. I mean, they already think they've taken our house. So what more do they, you know, what more can we possibly lose? So we just went in and said, well, we're going to do it. We've got nothing to lose. It does take that strength inside to say, look, we can do this. Don't forget, I've got a husband who had major brain surgery. He's put up with a lot. He's put up with a lot. And we camp in our house. It's not as though we have all our furniture. We have two chairs sitting in front of a fire with two candles at night.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can do it, you can do it as well.
Excellent. Seems like you would say, don't wait. Don't wait for, you know, let them use you as part of their investigation, as part of their understanding that this is, in fact, law and is working globally, and use that as a strength for them to move forward.
Absolutely. And if you're taken to court, be sure to get that the cover letter done to find out the funding of the bank, and also use the filings of the UCC cancellations, put them into the affidavit as evidence. Don't bring it up in court unless you have filed it as an affidavit. Otherwise, the judge will not hear you. You've got to understand that. I've learned so much about law recently. Thank God I'm not a lawyer, because I would not even want to listen to the other side. And there is always another side to everything. And I'm not going in on the bar side, I'm going in on the freedom side of the flesh and blood.
That's right.
Bring truth.
That's right. Well, I look forward to hearing back from you and having you share with us what the result is after the 365 days have ticked by in about 2.5 weeks. And I appreciate you sharing your freedom story with the world, and I know that it will help a tremendous amount of people to empower themselves as well.
I hope so, Lizzie. Go out there and do it. That's all I say.
There you go. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.